bottom. 316 at the bottom, 166 on top. We're going to start five lines in the top. Last week we discussed what Alter Rebbe says. Based on what we learned, we can understand the mistake of the Mixas Chachamim Beineim that learned the concept of Tzimtzum Kipshutei. Last week we explained that Arizal writes, and just to go through it very quickly and briefly, that Arizal writes that at the beginning, when Hashem created the world, or before Hashem created the world, that the infinite revelation of godliness permeated the entire existence of the universe, of everything. And there wasn't an ability for world to stand, because when infinite is revealed, when unlimited is revealed, finite cannot exist. So Arizal says, what did Hashem do? Silek atzmei kaviyochol alatzad, Arizal writes, Hashem removed himself. That's the literal meaning. The literal meaning is Hashem removed his infinite revelation, re-revealed what's called the kav, the line, which was the beginning of this and the source and the origin of limitation, and that allowed worlds to be. So the Alter Rebbe explains, many of the Chachamim interpreted the concept of Tzimtzum Kipshutei. What is that they learned Tzimtzum meant? Hashem removed himself completely from the world and is only supervising from above, but he is not in the world. That's what they learned. And the Alter Rebbe says, it can't be, okay? And he says, not only is it impossible to say that Hashem has, like a person you could say, was here and left. You can't say Hashem was here and Hashem left. You can't use the word he removed himself because Hashem is all over. You can't say he removed himself. And not only that, but he says in the fifth line, Avgam zeisle bedasi daberu, they're also not speaking intellectually. Why? These are from people, believers, the children of believers. And they believe Shakadosh Baruch Hu yedeya kol hayetzurim shebe'ilum hazeh hashofel, that Hashem knows everything that exists in the world, umashgiach aleihem, and supervises them. And like we learned last week, the proof that the Alter Rebbe brought from the shalach, which was the fish and the bird that swoops up fish from the ocean, and there's a mishpat and din which fish should be caught at which given time. And Hashem knowing them, Meisifa Bayribi V'chidish, does not add anything to Hashem. Because Hashem knows everything, B'yadiyas Atzmei. So therefore, Hashem and his understanding are one. Before we learned, the Alter Rebbe explained that when a person learns something, the person changes before they know it and after they know it. Before they know it, they didn't have this knowledge, and now this knowledge was added to them. Why is it possible that concept by a human? Because a person is not their knowledge. And the Rambam says there's three things. There's the person, there's what they know, and there's the knowing. It's three distinct things. I am not math, and therefore when I learn math, before I knew the math, I didn't know it, and now I know it. So I was changed because of it. By Hashem, there is nothing that's not Hashem. And therefore, knowing about the existence of everything that exists in the world is not that Hashem knows them, and that adds knowledge to Hashem. By Hashem knowing himself, he automatically knows everything, because there's nothing outside of Hashem. If there's nothing that's not Hashem, you can't have a concept of Hashem removing himself from where to where. Hashem can't remove himself because he is everything. To say that Hashem is, like they want to say, Rama kol goyim Hashem, that Hashem is exalted from all nations, Allah Shemayim Kveid, Hashem's glory is in the heaven. Which David HaMelech didn't mean the fact that Hashem left the world, but that's the pasuk that they use, basically. And you can't say that Hashem is controlling the world, which is something separated from him, remote control. Because the world is him, because by Hashem knowing himself, he has everything, and everything is known. So if Hashem is everything, and everything is Hashem, you can't have the concept of tzimtzum, that Hashem removed himself from the world and there's a place that he doesn't exist, meaning down here. Because if Hashem doesn't exist, then neither does anything else, like the Rambam says. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe is saying, they're not speaking intellectually, because Hashem knows what's going on in the world, and they agree that Hashem knows what's going on in the world. That means Hashem is there and he's knowing himself, because otherwise Hashem could know what's going on in the world. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, Simtum Kipshut can be. And he quotes, V'zeshe Kosev B'Tikunim, what it says in Tikunei Zayar, Tikun on Zayin, it says in the Zayar, the Les Asar Poni Minei, there is no place empty of Hashem, Leib Eloin, not in the higher realms, Leib Tator, not in the lower realms, meaning even in this world, there is no place where Hashem doesn't exist. There's the famous story of the Sfas Emes, one of the Gerer Rebbes, when he was a little kid. Somebody flipped him a coin. He was a little kid. Somebody flipped him a coin and said, tell me where God is. And I said, I'll give you the coin if you tell me where God is. So without any hesitation, the kid threw back the coin and he said to the guy, I'll give you two if you tell me where he isn't. I'll give you two if you tell me where he isn't. Because there can't be, by definition, if he's omnipresent, which is the definition of a God, there can't be a place. So the Zohar says, there is no place free from him, not in the higher worlds, not in the lower worlds. But I am Mehemne Parshas Pinchas. It's also part of Zohar Parshas Pinchas, it says, Iutafis Bekulei, Hashem grasps everything. Veles man the tafis bay, and nothing could grasp Hashem. Iu seviv kolam, and Hashem permeates the world. Veles man the nafik meshusei. There's nothing that leaves Hashem. Iyo memale kolamin, Hashem permeates the world. Iyo mekasha, Hashem connects, binds things. O meyachad zina lezina, He connects things to things, kinds to kind. Ilo v'tato, higher and lower. And I'll explain, v'les kurva bedalug yaseidim. There can be no relationship in the four elements. Ele ba'kodesh baruch hu kadil b'nei, when God is between them. The Zohar says like this. We know everything is composed of four elements: fire, air, earth, and water. Opposites cannot coexist. It's impossible for opposites to coexist. How is it possible that every object in the world, basically, is composed of fire and water, earth and air, if fire and water are two opposites? So the Zohar says, why is it? Why can they coexist? Because Hashem's presence is all over, and Hashem is above all these elements, and because He's above all these elements, He's able to bind and connect and unite the opposite elements. The fact that opposites could coexist in the world, in the basic elements of the world, which is the essence of everything in the world, that itself shows that Hashem's presence is all over. We learned many times, especially in the Thursday morning shiur, we learned, in order to connect two opposites, you need to be above both of them. When a person says at the bracha sheyotzer, when we finish the bracha, reifei chol basar umafli lases, Hashem heals all flesh and does wonders, not miracles, but peles, wonders, a wonder which is even greater than a miracle. What's the wonder? The mefarshim asidr. If you look in the mefarshim asidr, what does it mean umafli lases? What wonders does God do that we're thanking Him for? Shemekasher ruchnius v'gashmius. The Hashem combines ruchnius and gashmius. A human being cannot combine two opposites. A human cannot take fire and water and make them coexist, because either the fire will extinguish the water, will evaporate the water, or the water will extinguish the fire. And even though fire and water, by the way, as opposite as they are, they have something in common. They're both gashmius, and they're both created. Yet, the fact that they're opposites doesn't allow that you can coexist fire and water together. How could Hashem do it? Because Hashem, how could Hashem? So let's go back to that. So in the Shaman Guf, have less in common than fire and water. Because Neshama is Ruchni, spiritual. Body is Gashmi, physical. How in the world can you unite physical and spiritual together? It's an impossibility. The only way Hashem is able to do it, so to speak, is because Hashem is not Ruchni, Hashem is not Gashmi, and because He's not spiritual and He's not physical, He's above both. So therefore Hashem is able to unite two opposite things together. There's miracle and there's nature. How can Hashem put a miracle in nature? Because Hashem is not restricted by nature, Hashem is not restricted by miracle, and therefore He can do both together. So the Alter Rebbe is, what the Zohar is saying basically, the fact that Hashem combines two opposites and the elements, He puts fire and water together, is because Hashem is existing there. Because if Hashem doesn't exist there, it can't be. You can't have united of two opposites. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe is explaining, you can't say that Hashem Tzimtzum means that Hashem removed Himself from the world and there's a place that He doesn't exist. Because if Hashem doesn't exist, nothing else in the world also exists. And that can't be. And they also believe that. They also believe that Hashem is supervising everything that's going on in the world, not with something added to Him, not with something foreign to Hashem. How does He control the world? By knowing Himself. He automatically knows everything in the world. So therefore, and the Alter Rebbe is explaining now the Zayah. Last man, the toughest day. What does it mean? Nobody grasps Hashem. It means she'ein mi she'yit beis basogis sichli. Nothing. Last man, the toughest day. By the way, doesn't mean there's no person that can understand him. There is no existence in the world, even the most spiritual existence that exists in the spiritual worlds, also has no grasping of Hashem, because sichli melyanim. From the highest intellectual things, malachim, or even things like that, can never understand in the essence of Hashem. Chassidus explains, and we learned this not long ago when we were speaking about the difference between one and a trillion trillion compared to infinite. But we cannot understand what Hashem is. We have to work to understand what Hashem isn't. In other words, what Hashem is, the muhus of Hashem, we can never understand, because the highest level of elukus cannot understand it. In fact, Chassidus interprets the pasuk when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, when He said, "Show me your face," Hashem said, "Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai." Simply means, no person can see me and live. In Chassidus it says, in Kabbalah it says, "Kelayirani ha'adam v'chai," not v'chai who live. Not an Adam can see me, and not the Chayis Hakadosh, not even the Malachim can understand God, can see God. So Chassidus explains, Friedrich Rebbe is all my man. This Chassidus explains, there's what's called Yediyas Hametzias and Yediyas Hamohus. There's knowing the existence, and then there's the knowing what it is. To give you a mashal, we all know that we have a neshama, because we're alive, we're functioning, we're moving, we're doing. We know that there's a metzias of a neshama within us. We know there's an existence of a neshama within us. What the neshama is, the muhus of the neshama, that we don't understand. We can't understand what the neshama is, because our minds are limited, the neshama is infinite. But we know the metzias of the neshama exists. When it comes to elokus, we know the yediyas hametzias. We know Hashem exists, because if there's a world existing, then Hashem must be there making the world exist. What elokus is, like he says, the muhus of elokus, less machshava tfise bay, less man the toughest bay, nothing can grasp the muhus to understand what God is. What we could do is learn and know what God isn't. That is what's called Yediyas HaShlila.
So how do we know Hashem?
Therefore, there's an expression that Chassidus always brings down. Tachlis HaYediya Shalena Do'acha. The ultimate understanding of God is that we don't understand Him. What?
So how do we know that Hashem exists?
You look at the world, you see it exists.
How do you know it's Hashem?
It's something.
Yeah.
That's something we call God. What's the difference? What it is? When you call it divinity, call it divinity. What is it?
Nature.
That power, that initial power that makes everything work. You want to call it a different word, you call it just a different word for the same concept. Yesh balabayis lebira zu.
I know that.
I know you know that.
Yesh. Yeah.
And who made that happen? Go back.
I know. Just keep going. Somehow they always manage to, like, it doesn't have to be God.
Whatever that initial power is that they're saying got everything going, that power is God. They don't want to call it God. They want to call it Mother Nature. They want to call it science. They want to call it Big Bang. They want to call it whatever it is. But whatever they define as Big Bang, it's also not the beginning. Because there had to be something that caused Big Bang to be. You eventually have to go back to a concept of Metzius Imatzmusi, a self-existent entity. Because no matter how high you're going back, but what caused that, and what caused that, and what caused that, and what caused that? So you're anyway going to go back to the original concept that it had to be a self-existent entity, whatever that self-existent entity, that's Hashem. You want to give it a different name, give it a different name. But it has to be something like that.
Well, how do you say what Hashem isn't? Because there isn't anything that isn't, right?
We know that he's not limited, and we know he's not unlimited, and we know that he's not what we understand him to be. What? But if he's unlimited...
No, I'm going to ask what's an exact word. What is not? I was going to ask the same question.
We understand that Hashem is not limited. We also have to understand, by definition, that Hashem is not unlimited. We learned many times, if you stop a guy in the street and ask him, is God limited or unlimited? Even a believer, I'm saying, a frum Jew will tell you, God is unlimited. That is wrong for two reasons. What? That number, there's two problems with that. Number one, you're limiting him that he's unlimited and not limited. But there's a bigger problem than that. If Hashem is only unlimited, then he cannot create limitation. You can't create what you're not. If Hashem is only bli gvul, is unlimited, infinite, then how in the world can he make gvul? You can't make something you're not. So obviously Hashem is not unlimited, and he's not limited. How could that be? What does it mean? So we could say it in words. We don't understand what it means. But the fact is, by definition, Hashem cannot be limited, and he cannot be unlimited. And the same thing Hashem, people think, Hashem is Ruchni, not Gashmi. I'll tell you something in a second. You can't say Hashem is Ruchni, because number one, then how in the world can he make Gashmi? And secondly, you're limiting him again that he's Ruchni, not Gashmi. They tell two chassidim, there was one, I don't want to mention names, but there was a wild chassid. He said to his friend, do me a favor, define God for me. Define God to me. The second he opened his mouth to speak, he gave him a smack in the face, friendly smack in the face, and he said, the second you open your mouth to describe God, it's already not God. But like we learned the other week, the more you understand what God's not, it's like we said, one and a trillion trillion compared to infinite. They're both infinite away. But a trillion trillion is a better understanding of what infinite isn't, rather than one that thinks infinite is a billion.
Why unlimited cannot create limited? If it's unlimited, can create everything.
Because if you're unlimited, like it says in the Arizal Netzchayim, lo hayim makom lamid esayim. If infinite's revealed, how in the world can you create finite? If Hashem is unlimited,
if it's revealed, but if it's not.
No, but if he's unlimited, then how can you create limited?
Because he has unlimited, as he can create.
But unlimited, you're saying, is not limited.
Yeah, but he can create everything.
In fact, Chassidus, and this is one of the Samachov Zuf Ta'ayim Beis, and the Rebbe explained this at great length. A normal from Jew thinks that Ruchnius is closer to God than Gashmius is. And that's why there's a big problem. Why did God have to give Torah Mitzvahs in Gashmius? So besides the fact that Chassidus says it's Shtusim, because if Hashem is not Gashmi, not Ruchni, so then Ruchni is not any closer to God than Gashmi. But Chassidus takes it even a step further. And we learned this many times. Gashmius reveals a deeper aspect of godliness of Hashem than Ruchnius does. Gashmius reveals the self-existent entity aspect of God, while Ruchnius only reveals the Ein Sof of Elokus, but not the Ein Leitchilo. I can't give you an example, I can only explain it. Hashem, there are many things that have no end to it. There are things that are Ein Sof, but they have a beginning. At one time they were created, but they were created to be unlimited. Only Hashem is Ein Leitchilo. Hashem doesn't have any beginning. That aspect of God, Ruchnius doesn't show, doesn't reveal. Only Gashmius shows. Because what does Gashmius mean? I'm going to say, we learned this many times, I'm not going to waste time with this. Gashmius is Yeshmiayim. Gashmius is something from nothing, correct? Gashmius doesn't feel the source. Now, we know Chassidus asks, why is it called Yeshmiayim? You think something from nothing? God is nothing. What do you mean Yeshmiayin? Bereish is bara lekim. The Ramban says bara means Yeshmiayin. What do you mean the world is something from nothing? God is nothing. Since when is God nothing? If anything, world is nothing. What do you mean God is nothing? So Chassidus explains why is it called Yeshmiayin? Because the Yesh doesn't feel its source, and therefore, as far as it's concerned, it comes from Ayin. It comes from nothing. Now. The existence of the yesh, the existence of the physical object, is really its batul talakus, like we're learning Shaykh Vamuna. What makes the existence of Gashmius exist? The fact that it thinks it exists. That means its existence is this that it thinks itself to be. Because really everything's batul tashem. What makes it yesh? Bara yesh miayin, the fact that it thinks it exists. That means its existence is the fact that he realizes he exists. Yet, does he have a source? He doesn't feel the source because it's yesh miayin. Yesh miayin means it doesn't feel the source. So what aspect of godliness does Gashmius show? The fact Gashmius basically shows the concept of ein leitchila, there's no source. The Gashmiistic existence is what it feels itself to be. That's its existence. And that existence doesn't feel its source. That means as far as its existence is concerned, which is what it feels to be, there is no tchila, there's no beginning. Ruchnius knows it has a source. Ruchnius is not Yeshmiayin. Ruchnius feels the source. So what does Ruchnius feel of Elokus? Ruchnius doesn't reveal the aspect of Elokus that has no beginning. Because Ruchnius feels that it has a source. So Ruchnius might be Ein Sof, but what does it reveal of Elokus? It reveals that God has there's a level of godliness which is Ein Sof, but it has a beginning.
This feeling of the
Gashmi
is illusion.
No. The old Shaykh Ramuna, we're learning that it's real. Tzimtzum is real. Gashmius, Bereishis Baralikim, Tayyidus Emes says, Gashmius exists.
It doesn't feel its own source, or it doesn't feel
that... Doesn't feel any source. What's Yeshmiayin mean?
Something for nothing.
What's nothing mean?
Nothing.
Nothing means nothing. Where do I come from? From nothing. So what am I? Self-existent.
But this is not real.
It is real. Symptom is real.
I didn't come from nothing.
I have a problem with it.
I have a lot of problems.
I didn't come from nothing.
Gashmius with Ruchnius.
Like what?
One is supposed to serve Hashem.
To combine the two.
Combine the two, right?
How can you combine Ruchnius and Gashmius?
Well,
because we get the power from Matan Torah, which is the revelation of the essence of Hashem, which is higher than Ruchnius and Gashmius together, that it can combine Ruchni and Gashmi together.
Right. So now, that you have the person that wants to connect to Hashem, right?
Yeah.
Wants to understand, to get to the level of understanding so we can connect. But you're telling the person... Do not do that because you never understand God.
Right.
That means it's a torture for the person.
No, God says, I want you to understand as much as your brain can handle. That's it. But at the same time, understand that your brain is limited, no matter how brilliant you are. And if it's limited, it cannot understand mathematically. Vul cannot understand believable. Yeah. When you can, when a person learns Torah is Chochmas Yishal Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you learn Torah, you become one with God. When a five-year-old kid learns Bereishis Bar Elokim Es Hashemayim V'Ha'aretz, and he learns in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and he gets 100 on the test, he knows all the words perfectly. He was learning Torah. He gets the mitzvah of knowing Torah. The question is, Torah is infinite, and the greatest of minds don't begin to understand what Bereishis Bar Elokim means.
Yeah, but not the source.
Doesn't matter. Bereishis Bar Elokim is Hashem's wisdom.
Torah
and Hashem are one. When you understand Torah, you are one with Hashem.
Oh. Yeah, but you know that you're lacking something.
No, you're one with Hashem.
Why not? I know that I'm lacking, that I can't see Hashem's face, and nobody can see Hashem's face. I know that, you know? Mm.
How can you see something that's not physical? Mm-hmm. You expect to see God with physical eyes when He's not physical.
But you can feel it. I mean,
when a person learns Torah, the neshama feels it. Mm-hmm. The neshama feels the connection.
Is Gashmius Gullus?
No, Gashmius is physical.
Gosh,